Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
So take your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. This morning is Vision Sunday, so it's not your traditional kind of message. So I'm going to talk to you about this passage. Then we're going to take a look back and give thanks for what happened in 2018. Then we're going to take a look forward and just see maybe what the Lord has in store for us in 2019. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. A man scatters seed on the ground. I'm going to come back to the rest of it later, but I just want to start with that. Now, I love to dream and plan about what God, you know, can do in our church. I love to dream and plan about what God wants to do in our hearts, but also what God can do through our collective efforts and his spirit. So can I just be honest with you? I don't want to sit around and just play church all the time. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to just punch the clock on Sunday morning. I, as the pastor, I just don't want to pick up a check and then one day retire and then look back and have regret in my life because there was something that I didn't do. I don't want to be haunted by the what if. What if we would have done this? What if, you know, we would have tried here? So I don't want to live my life that way. And I don't pastor that way at all. So we see in this passage, he says, the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed. The kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed. So to the farmer, seed in his pocket has no value. Seed sitting on the shelf has no value at all. It's just wasted space. It's not really worth anything. The only value seed has is when they put it in the ground. That's the only value that seed has. The kingdom of God is like a man, you know, scattering seed. So the farmer, that farmer's got seed and he's got crops that are doing well. So it's not really a good investment to plant seed in places that are already doing well. So the farmer who makes his livelihood from the harvest, he's always looking for places that have no, you know, they have no root, they have no plant, there is no harvest anywhere. So they're always looking, where else can I plant seed? Where can I put this that I haven't done that, you know, that I haven't done that before? Because to the farmer, he sees a potential harvest. The farmer does not celebrate the seed. The farmer celebrates the harvest. The farmer is not there for the exercise of planting seed. The farmer is there at the very end to be there when the harvest happens. The kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed. So this man's looking. He's got seed. He's looking, where can I plant this? This is growing well here, so it wouldn't be wise to plant here. Where's a new spot? What can I look at that, you know, that hasn't borne any fruit? To us, seed is. Seed, let me kind of define that this morning. Seed is prayer. When we pray, it's like planting seed. It's a seed to God for other people. When we're praying for those that are lost, we're planting seed. When we're praying for those that are saved and we're praying God's blessing upon them, we're planting seed. When we pray for missions and missionaries, we're planting seed. When we pray for someone to be healed or to have a miracle, our prayer is planting seed. Seed is prayer. Seed is service to others. When I give of my time and efforts and talents to bless other people, to make an investment in other people for the kingdom of God, it's like planting seed. In the church, when we serve, we give up our own personal time, things that we could do that we would want to do, but we give that up so that we can serve others, that other people, a harvest can come up in their life. There are people this morning that even as we speak, they got up, they got ready to go to church, and they're serving in the nursery. They may not get to sing a song of worship. They may not hear a message. The only thing they're hearing is crying from toddlers. That's a true Christian back there in the nursery. All right? But I want to tell you something. That's as much ministry as anything that's happening here in this church this morning. Because service is seed. Those this morning that come early and they drive a van to go get people that wouldn't have a ride to church. They bring them to church. They come in late. The van drivers. Then they have to leave early. Leave service early to go take people in the van. And then long after you're at lunch, they're coming back to the church because they dropped people off. I want to tell you something. That's seed. That's service to people. That's God, when we give of ourselves and for other people to experience a harvest in our life, man, that is planting seed. The kingdom of God is about a man who's scattering seed. And I'm scattering seed when I'm praying. I'm scattering seed when I'm serving. I'm scattering seed when I give money. When I make a financial investment, when I give to the kingdom of God or kingdom purposes, I'm putting seed in the ground that will give a harvest. And I just want to tell you, whether it's prayer, whether it's service, whether it's financial, man, the Lord knows the seed that you're putting in the ground. The Lord knows that and sees that. The seed, the kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed. Doesn't do any good to hold it himself. He's got to get it out. He's trying to find areas that there is no harvest being born. We sow seed wherever we get the opportunity. We got to be aggressive. We're looking for places. Sometimes seed finds itself in very easy places and it gives a very easy harvest. But sometimes seed is in difficult places. Sometimes it's off the beaten path. Sometimes there's a harvest in a place that we've never thought about before or that we've never seen before. There's a need that surfaces, you know, in our life, and we want to plant seed there. And that farmer's looking. He's looking for unplanted areas for a harvest. So we're looking for people. We're looking for places. We're looking for needs in our community, in our world that have no harvest. They have no seed so that we can plant and see God do a harvest at the end. And then this passage, I want to go back. It says, the man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, even though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. All right, so he plants the seed, then he just goes to sleep. All right? That's a good plan. He takes a nap. And he's going, where's this harvest coming from? He doesn't know all the mechanics of how it's working. I just want to say something to you. We can plant seed and be aggressive, but do you know what? Ultimately, that harvest is up to the hand of God. There's only so much we can do. I want you to know it's not a scientific equation. It's not a formula. This is a spiritual entity, and we put seed in the ground, and then we just let God do his thing. We let God do his thing. Some things are only up to the hand and the will and the purpose of God. He went to sleep, but yet a harvest came up. I want to just say this morning, man, from our little corner on Tennessee Street, man, God has blessed our church. Do you know that? Just from this little piece of ground, just from these people in this building who are not famous by any chance, man, we've had some global influence in the world. God has blessed us. We want to be faithful with what God has given us, and we never want to underachieve. We never want to underachieve. So I want you to hold that thought. I'm going to come back to that at the very end. We're going to talk about harvest at the very end. But I want to do some things. It's Vision Sunday, so it's a little more non-traditional on the sermon part of that. So when you came in this morning, I hope that you got a little vision booklet that they gave you. Also, values, our church values, if you have a chance to look at that. So we're going to come back to that passage. But at least once a year, I like to cover this with the congregation as a whole, like God's plan for our life. We're going to look at vision, direction, Thanksgiving in just a moment. But I just want to kind of chart out for you, if you're new or you just need a reminder, just some of the sequences that God has in store for you. So the first thing is follow Jesus. As individuals, we've discovered hope, forgiveness, and purpose through our relationship with Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Where would I be without my Savior? All right, so the first thing God wants to do is you follow Jesus. Or maybe if you're new, you don't really have a background of faith, I just want you to know, what does God want you to do? He wants you to look to Jesus. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to restore relationship. You want to know what God's plan for you? It starts at the cross of Jesus Christ. Come to the cross and know Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether you're far away from God, whether you know a lot about God, or whether you know nothing at all. The call is still the same. Number one, to follow Jesus with your life. And I would love, at the end of the service, I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe if that is you. Second thing is grow in your faith. Follow Jesus. Grow in your faith. Start a relationship with Jesus. Starting a relationship with Jesus is just the beginning. Growing in your faith is a lifelong journey. So if you're new, it's not just about coming to the Lord, but man, there's some things that God wants to do in your life, you know, after that. If you've been a Christian a long time, man, there's still these growth areas for us to grow and mature in the Lord. So it starts with like water baptism and worship, prayer, and scripture reading, encounters with the Holy Spirit, faithful attendance, tithing and giving and sharing our faith. So once we come to the Lord, then we start a journey of growing in our faith. The next thing, connect with other believers. We intentionally build relationships with others to have fun, grow in our faith together, and be an encouragement to others. God doesn't save us for us to have a sad, lonely existence, but He wants to put us together with other like-minded people. And let me just tell you, serving God with friends is just the best, right? It's just the best. When you come to church and you know people and you got friendships, because church, I get it, church is emotional and it's deep, but it also should be fun as well. Laughter is welcome in the kingdom of God. Smiles are welcome at Generations Church, right? So like tonight, perfect example. We're going to do small groups on various topics. We're going to connect, learn God's word. Then we're going to go in the fellowship hall. We're going to eat food that's bad for us. And either we're going to pull for the Patriots or against the Patriots. You know, whatever you want to do. But I just want to say that's part of church life, is connecting with others and sharing food and celebrating and having fun together. So that's the third thing. The other, discover your gifts and purposes. We are a unique design from God. Understanding our distinct purpose and function is an exciting part of the journey. So if you're kind of new to faith, we're all different and diverse. We've got different natural talents, unique life experiences, passions and interests that are different in spiritual gifts. And when we combine those all together, man, there's this unique creation that God has made for you. And discovering that purpose, man, once you know that is an unbelievable revelation to you. And then the last part is that we serve others together. We find a greater joy in serving others than we do in living for ourselves. So when we find that natural gift, and man, we find a place and we plug that in, and it's following Jesus, it's growing in our faith, it's connecting with other believers, it's discovering our gifts and our purposes in serving others. So if you want to know what God's will is for you, that was it in about 4 minutes. Well, maybe 6 minutes, all right? All right, so We took all of those things several years ago and we put it in a purpose statement, and we're trying to put this on everything that we have, just so it is a reminder to you of our purpose, our biblical purpose: loving God, loving people, and serving the world. We want to love God, We want to love others, and we want to find our place and make an impact on our world. And that's our purpose statement. So I just wanted to like to do that up front, just for a moment, just reframe that for everyone. So let's take a moment looking back and giving thanks. We are 78 years old this year. Generations Church, 78 years old. Now the church, yeah, amen. We are 78 years old, but our bones don't creak or pop on Sunday morning when we get up. All right, we're young. All right. And the church that you sit in this morning is a lot different from the sanctuary that they sat in 78 years ago. God has favored this congregation. There are many people, most of them looking down from heaven this morning that prayed, they gave, they served, they loved, they perspired to give us what we have today. So we always want to be thankful of our heritage and our background. But let's take a look, because God did some great stuff in 2018. We got a little video we want to show you this morning. All right. Great year. Great year. Let me follow up with some detail on that. Let me talk about our church giving last year. It was unbelievable. We had almost a 7% increase in our giving last year. And I just want to say thanks to God. I want to say thanks to you for your financial faithfulness. So really big when it comes to that kind of stuff. Project renovation last year, since the start, we've completed both foyers, I think five classrooms. We've added new appliances to the kitchen. We are renovating our two-story building. If you're new, it's 40 years old and it needs some attention. We added smart TVs and DVDs to every classroom, and we've still got some more work over there upstairs to do. We're not quite finished, but since we started project renovation, we've had over $40,000 that's come in that we've put into that building. So thank you very much. Connect groups. Last year was an unbelievable year. We had our largest attendance and expanded class offerings in our two semesters. We had more people involved in small groups than we've ever had on a consistent basis, and we were able to, you know, had more diverse offerings in our classes. So I watch stuff like that, you know, how many people are in your small groups are really important, you know, kind of considering church life. Generations U, it was a great year. We launched our college ministry, you know, a couple of years ago, and man, we just had expanded ministry and relationship building, and they've really just kind of matured, and we began a new worship experience called Third Thursday with just our college and young adults having their own worship service, praying for each other, hearing the word. So I'm excited about that. Serving opportunities. We presently have 171 people serving in our church on a regular basis. I just want to say thank you so much for those that invest through serving. I just want to say thank you very much. Now, just keep in mind, like on a regular Sunday morning, it's about 65 or 70 people that we need to pull off Sunday morning. So thank you for the 171. I appreciate what you do. Street Hope. Last year, Street Hope served around 1,800 meals to our homeless friends. Can you give it up for Street Hope? If you're part of the Street Hope team, would you stand? If you're part of Street Hope in any way, would you stand? Amen. Give it up for our Street Hope team. Thank you very much. Every other Monday night, we serve between 80 and 90 homeless people. We serve a meal to them. Also, we give them clothing. We give them hygiene bags. We did a Christmas party for them, because if you want to find where Jesus is in Tallahassee, he's with the homeless, and we want to be there as well. So thank you, Street Hope. Let's talk about missions. Last year, I mean, it was an unbelievable year we had in missions. So we had two missions trips. One is we did a renovation in a church in Limerick, Ireland, Abundant Life. Also in that same church, we had we took a team and we did a mega sports camp. So we did outreach over there. If you were on either one of those missions teams, would you please stand? Would you please stand if you're on the construction team or the mega sports camp team? Thank you. We had a great time in Ireland last year connecting with the same church. Faith Promises last year, unbelievable. Thank you for your belief in missions. We had a 27% increase in commitments to Faith Promises. Yeah. Hey, Like when Debbie showed me that number, the breath just left my lungs. All right. I couldn't believe it. It's over $4,000 a month, with about 40, 45 different missionaries that we support. So it's unbelievable. So thank you for that. We had an amazing year with giving through Speed the Light, BGMC. Speed the Light was strong, even though we had, you know, a transition, you know, last year. BGMCs from our children, they raised over $10,000 for missions last year. Here. Just their kids and parents. Out of that 10,000, almost 7,000 of that came through the One Hope Cambodia project. You remember that? The toothbrush. They would get a toothbrush and a hygiene bag and a gospel presentation. Do you know, just the giving from our church, just the giving over our church, over 20,000 kids will get a toothbrush, a book of hope, a gospel presentation, and a hygiene booklet. Just from your givings and our kids. Give it up one more time. Great. Great. So I want to give you this total. It's total missions giving. Don't put it up yet. Don't put it up yet. Total missions giving. That is benevolence. It's evangelism. It's outreach. It was our project, our Hurricane Michael project giving. But last year, our total missions and outreach giving was $192,992. Almost $200,000 last year. If I'd have known we were $8 short, I would have written a check for 10. One other statistic, all right? Last year, this church ate 4,992 Dunkin' Donuts in the cafe. Now, come on. I believe we can pass 5,000 this year. What do you think? I have no doubt you can. I have no doubt. So let's take a look. No, first of all, let's take 30 seconds. Can we just give God thanks for what he's done in our midst? Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise and we give you honor. It's not about a person, Lord. It's about you. Amen. Let's look forward. Let's look forward. Maybe let's look at some things for this particular year. First of all, we got a couple of special days coming up. This summer, we're going to do another Serve Team Day with Habitat for Humanity. We won't know the exact date until their build schedule comes out, but we'll be passing that out to you, and you can spend an afternoon, a morning and an afternoon, helping with a Habitat for Humanity house. Another service that we're having, we're going to do a service called Building Strong Family Sunday with Micah and Beverly Bell. They've started this ministry, investing in families. We know them well. They're going to come and just do a service for us and talk about strong families, so that's sometime coming up in the future. So let's look at a few things scattering seed. Let's look at a few things God's open in some areas of interest this coming year. Number one, summer interns, allowing opportunities for young people to follow God's call. Now, we had a great intern last year, David Steves. He was wonderful, and we miss David. But there's all kinds of opportunities for young people to come and serve. So some young people are trying to figure out God's call. Is God calling me to the ministry? So an internship is a way that they can kind of feel that out and sense whether God's calling them to the ministry. Or there are others that are already in Bible college, and as part of their degree program, they have to do an internship. And we want to provide opportunity from June and July for them to come and serve and work at our church, work with our staff, work with our team, and get a sense of God's direction. Plus, they're a lot of fun when we have them here. Anyway, now here's how you can help. Our biggest challenge when it comes to interns is lodging. You know, people are going on vacations, and sometimes it's difficult. So if you've got a garage apartment, a basement apartment, maybe for the summer or part of the summer, or you know someone that's got maybe a furnished apartment that can be sublet for a few months, hey, let me know. That's kind of our biggest hurdle to having interns. But we're excited about young people coming and serving and being a part of our church. So just wanted to mention that. Another area of emphasis is GC Young Professionals. All right, it's kind of a new area that we don't see a lot of fruit. We want to scatter some seed here. So GC Young Professionals is just a natural extension of GC Kids. because we want them to grow up, and then they go to GC Youth, and then when they're done with that, we want to have Generations U. And then what happens to people in our church, young adults, when they graduate from college? What's the plan for them? So we want to have a place for them to land. So we're just kind of really giving the initial push on this. Kelsey, if you'll come, give Kelsey a hand. She does a great job working in her office. Kelsey, tell us your vision.
Yeah, so last semester we actually launched Young Professionals. It's a connect group. We're doing it again this semester. I help teach the class. So it's basically just geared towards young adults when you're out of college, whether you're single, you're married, whether you're focused on your career, or you're doing something different. We just wanted to create a place where people can come and grow together and grow in their relationship with God. I think it's so important with this generation to be connected and plugged in to a church, and that's kind of what we wanted to do. That's what Young Professionals is. It's just a place for young adults to come together, grow in their relationship with God, and grow with others. So if you're a young adult in here, maybe you're not really connected, please know we'd love to have you in connect groups. It's so important, and I think it would be really awesome for you. And then we also have events that we combine with like our young adults in our college ministry. So this Saturday coming up is our bonfire. We'd love to have you be a part of that. And then also Thursday, our worship service, that is for you too. So we'd love to have you. All this information is on our website. And if I haven't connected with you yet, I'd love to meet you after church. Thank you.
So if you're out of college, young adult, married, single, it doesn't matter. We want to create something for you. Maybe you'd want to maybe kind of help form that, be on the leadership team. I mean, we would come talk to Kelsey, but that's an area of our church that we need to work on and bring some attention to. So that's one other thing, 2019. Another place, GC Men, all right? Listen, I love men. I am one, all right? So I just think men need the opportunity to do man stuff, right? I mean, the women are getting together in a few weeks and they're doing a blanket, all right? So we need opportunity to do man stuff. Just a few things throughout the year, maybe just different kind of activities or events. Like usually every year we go play golf. We're going to do that again this year. There you go. And listen, I will be at the golf course early for any training or tutoring that you feel like you may need before you play. I'll do that. We'll go eat breakfast together somewhere. We'll go deep sea fish, or man, we'll fish locally, whatever you want to do. We got hunters in the church. We can go hunt. Now, I don't hunt. I don't hunt because I don't like venison. So just keep that in mind. I do love beef, so if you ever go on a cow hunt, why don't you just give me a call? I'll be right there, all right? But if you like to hunt, man, we can put that together. If you like to shoot guns, you know, I realized I was like the only one in our church that didn't have a handgun. I went and bought one because I don't want to be left out. I went and fired it, and it broke. I did something wrong. It broke on the very first one. So I've never shot it yet. But if that's something that you like to do, or watch an FSU game and have wings, or an Alabama game and have steak, however you want to do that, you know, or if you ride motorcycles, you know, we can do stuff, you know, because men need that connection. They like to do things like that, and it's not just for fun, but also it's an opportunity for men to bring their sons. And in a faith context, we're doing man stuff together. It's also because there are a lot of young men that don't have dads. They don't do man stuff. They've never been taught man stuff. So they just haven't had that opportunity. And here's our chance to maybe bring some along, you know, in that area. Or also, there are a lot of great men in their families. They're not in church anywhere. They're not in any church. And man, through these kind of events, you know, they might come and go fish. They might hunt. They might go play golf, because when you win a man, you win a family. So there's all kinds of reasons that we want to do it. And we're not going to do something every month, but just maybe 3-4 times a year, we want to get together and do something for men. We got a men's small group that's going right now. If you want to join in with that, you're welcome to come. But I want to scatter a little seed there. We've built all kinds of things for other people, and I just want our men to know, man, we value you. We value your time, and we want to do some things maybe that you like. So, man, touch base with me. If you kind of want to work putting some of these events together, we've got others that kind of help us with that. I'm limited in some of that, so just let me know. But men, we'll have some attention on our men this year. Project renovation. Let me just kind of tell you where we're at and what we're looking at. We're about 90% through upstairs with all the classrooms, but really we want to take our attention and turn to our fellowship hall, our multi-use fellowship hall. Now let me say, when that begins, you know, it's going to be in the decor of the rest of the building. You're going to be able to have baby showers and teenagers, and there's not going to be crazy stuff hanging everywhere. It's going to be a multi-use facility that we respect all the other groups that would meet there. But let me just say too, but on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and third Thursday, I want that to be the best youth, children, and worship center on this side of town, all right? So we want to make that investment in our children. This church has always looked to the next generation, and it's always borne fruit, and now we want to take the opportunity and make that investment in our fellowship hall for all kinds of reasons, but specifically, we want our children, our students, and our college students to have the best worship facility down there. Pastor Josh, I want you to come. He's just going to cast a little vision on that and talk to you about kind of what we're dreaming about when it comes to that building.
How's everybody doing? Okay, so I'm passionate about students. Pastor Bo is passionate about kids, and Kelsey is passionate about college-age students. And I don't know about you, but I want our place to be the place to be. I want it to be state-of-the-art. I mean, we love this. How many of y'all love the sanctuary that you're in right now? I mean, it's awesome. It looks really clean. It's fresh. And that came through giving. That came through you guys. That came through a dream being casted and someone catching that dream and catching vision. So we've just got a few pictures that we want to show you. You know, as soon as I came here a couple of months ago, me and Bo and Pastor Brent got together and we started brainstorming. Pastor Brian, we started kind of doing some vision casting, just some things. And man, I just want to kind of walk you through maybe some of these pictures. So number one, let's just stop at the chairs. Okay, so how many of y'all have ever had to move our chairs, our pretty green chairs over there before, right? Man, gosh, those chairs. We were so thankful for them, but like they got to go. Okay, so like, man, they're just so heavy. You know, just to give you like a really practical example, you know, after our service, usually I'll have some kind of game set up right for our students right after I preach. And, you know, it's always just like, you know, time is important. Time is important to everyone. We've got school, you know, projects that need to be done. You know, parents try to bring their kids, you know, drop them off. Hey, I need you in the car by this time. I need you to go. And man, time is of the essence on Wednesday night. And just as soon as we're rocking and rolling and just as soon as we get done, you know, hey, go put the chairs up. And that takes like 10 minutes to do. You know, all my leaders are getting together and, you know, we don't even know, one of them might cut you. You don't know what's going to happen. The other day we were setting up for teenagers and like three of the chairs had holes in them. And, you know, Miss Lois, I don't know if you're here this morning. I know she was here first service. You know, she was like, that chair ain't going to work. Let's go with another one. So then we have to get another leader and you go put the chairs up. And man, they just like drag the floor. They mess up our floor. How many of y'all would like to see new chairs in there? Man, these are the lifetime chairs. I'm pitching something here, but like, man, just casting some vision. These would match. We want it to look clean. We want it to look fresh. I want it to look fun. I want one of my students, like if they invite one of their friends to church on Wednesday night, they'll be like, man, they'll just be captivated by the atmosphere. I'll use this analogy right now. Bo used this first service. He said, you know, there's a difference between Chuck E. Cheese and Disney World. Okay, like we want that Disney World experience. We want someone who comes to our church to be like just wowed by our facility, and we want to match the renovations that are taking place in this building and then in the upstairs of the fellowship hall. So we would love to have these lifetime chairs. They are awesome. Maybe the inflata set. Let's go to the inflata set. I'll kind of cast vision for Bo. He's not able to be with us. He's teaching his lesson right now. But this inflata set is really cool. Like, it blows up. It's inflatable so they can travel with it. I know Pastor Bo just came back from doing kind of a series with NFC. And, like, you know, he has to take all of these materials over there and bring them back. Man, this would just be awesome. And, you know, stage is important. Environment is important. I believe that atmosphere is important. You know, when you kind of step into a room, you're like, man, this is really cool. So this would just be an awesome thing. He could put all of his sermon slides on there. I mean, it's interactive for the leaders. He could put a sermon series on there. It's just completely just inflatable. And maybe let's go to that picture with the wood. I really like clean. I like wood stuff. And, you know, Pastor Bo and Pastor Brent and Pastor Brown, we all share this vision. I would love to have, like, a Fortnite, like, battle center, like command center on youth on Wednesday night. So like we would like to have, once the chairs kind of get out of the way, that will free up a lot of space. And just one thing, you go in there, for those of you, I've only been in here for a few months, but you go in that room and it's just like, what theme are we going with here? I mean, we have stuff on the walls. We've got stuff here. We got stuff everywhere. We have yellow trusses. We have red things just everywhere. There's no color coordination at all. So we would love to just like make this place a great place. Because how many know that when someone comes, they just want to know that we love Jesus. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen. And like, man, this would just be great. So we would love to do like a wood paneling of some sort with like couches. We would like to put some flat screen TVs for games. That's just some of the things we would like to do. And I think there's one more picture on the stage. I would love to have an amazing stage for our students. I believe that, you know, Jesus is in the room whether we have nothing, right? Two or three are gathered. We don't need anything like that. We can meet in a closet. But how many know, like, we would be able to do so much more. We would appeal to so many things. And how many know, like, the next generation, like, they're captivated by just like rooms and atmospheres. And I think we could use that. We could leverage that to our benefit to build relationship and for students and teenagers and young adults to flourish in their relationship with God. So that's just kind of that.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. Thank you. So we've already made the investment. We've got a new soundboard that's coming in, light, sound, video capability, technology that's important to students today. So that's going to be $10,000, $15,000, you know, investment or more. But, you know, I'm just casting vision this morning. Just want you to know we're just not going to sit around. We want to upgrade our facilities and have the best for our kids' next generation. A couple other things really quick. We want to upgrade live stream and video capability. We've already started that process. You know, like when people, when they check out a church, they don't visit first. They look at the live stream and the video so you can better introduce yourself with a better quality audio and video. So we're making investments with that. Starting this week, backstage, we started building a broadcast little studio back here. They're doing translation in it right now. So Anita's back there this morning, and she's translating into Spanish. But we're going to pull all of our cameras, all of our boards, that kind of thing that have anything to do with video or audio capability. We're going to put it backstage. We're fixing to add another high-definition camera, give us a little bit different look on there. We're upgrading our podcast because a lot of people, they stay connected with the church or they introduce themselves to the church through, you know, through video and live stream, those kind of things. So we're making some investments and that you will hear more about that this year. Last thing this morning that I want to talk to you about, and I started this conversation last year because I have a concern as pastor that we got a lot or a good number of people in our church that have addiction issues in their life. And they're wonderful people and godly people, but they're struggling in this area. So I started last February just kind of casting vision about what can we do, you know, in that particular area. And so we started, you know, we pulled together some people that were interested, kind of had a meeting together. We had this conversation about, you know, is this something, we know there's a need, but this is something we need to have here at Generations Church, or do we just need to connect people with other wonderful ministries in our community? So we just kept having this conversation. What do we do? So we decided to send a survey out to our church of people that have issues with life controlling, have problems with life controlling issues in their life. And we had 30 people that responded, some of them with wisdom and advice for our leadership team, but others are going, hey, I need some help in some certain areas. You know what was shocking to me? That there were a good number of people that just felt like they had a life-controlling issue, but it wasn't necessarily the area of addictions. So we just kind of looked at that, and we were just talking about that. And so this morning, I want to call our team to the front. Aaron, Kelly, Natasha, Terry here. Denise couldn't make it this morning. I want you to come up on the stage this morning. Had a couple that couldn't make it today. But I want to introduce to you our Living Free team. And this is what we're going to call this. Now, this is more complicated, so, this is the very first phase of Living Free, and that is building relationships, friendships, and trust. You know, and whatever happens in the future with this ministry, it just depends on, you know, people that have these issues. They have trust in those that are working with them. So right now, we are here to meet you, connect with you, pray with you, care for you, maybe take you for a meal or a coffee, but we want to develop friendship and relationships. That's the very first part of this. The second phase of that, maybe later on, you know, would be starting a small group, you know, for those just in our church that maybe have some life controlling issues. This kind of allows us to kind of get the feel for this kind of ministry, continue to develop and deepen those relationships. And then phase three would be, we would go community wide. When we feel like we're ready, we would go, hey, we've got a ministry based out of Generations Church for anybody in our community. We want to help you and we want to serve you. So these people have been along on the journey. I sent them an email. I said, hey, we're going to launch Sunday. And I'm nervous. I'm scared. But where do we just believe God's hand in this? Aaron, I just want you to take a moment, maybe just share your heart for a second about Living Free.
So several months ago, I shared a little bit about my testimony with everybody. And you guys got to hear part of the story. Where God saved me from something, an issue that had taken me very very low in my life and had really taken control over my life. And I shared part of where I'm at now and the awesome journey it's been ever since. And so I guess I kind of wanted to share what we're not, so what this team is not. And the important thing to know is that the team is now, we're not counselors. We're not experts on spiritual doctrine, and we're certainly not in any position to pass judgment on anybody for anything that you're walking through. What we are is completely unqualified to do this. We are completely broken, and we are just completely ready to connect with you and to meet with you and have a discussion with you. And what we want to do is we want to get with everyone that's having some sort of life-controlling issue, and we just want to start the conversation. We want to find out and share our stories, listen to your story, and talk to you about what's going on, because this is something that I know 100% to be true. The enemy doesn't want you to talk about whatever's controlling your life and whatever is starting to bring you down. The enemy wants you to keep it a secret, and he wants you to keep it bottled up inside. And when you start talking about it, that's when you start to break the chains. And that's when the really cool stuff starts to happen. And so we just want to be part of that conversation.
Thank you. Worship team, you guys can come. Thank you very much. On the screen are those that are involved in our initial leadership team. If you'd like to be part and help, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you've got an issue or something, man, you want to connect, here's the contact information. Contact me. We just see a need in our church, and we want to help. We just want to scatter some seed in this particular area. Mark 4. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head. Then the full kernel in the head, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. The harvest has come. There's no harvest without a seed. There's no harvest without a risk. And I want to just say this to you. I would rather fail in trying to do something great for God than play it safe and underachieve. So we're going to lean in. We're going to press. We're going to look for opportunities, but we're just going to believe and ask God's hand upon us. We launched ministries that are maturing and doing well, but we got a new field, some new areas that we need to work on this morning. Would you stand with me? Worship team's going to come. We're going to just pray. I'm just going to ask in just a moment. We're just going to pray prayers of faith. We're going to pray prayers of belief. We're going to pray for God's favor upon our church. We're not here at this point in our life on the ingenuity of pastors, but it's only the hand of God. I want to tell you that. Just want to tell you that. Lead us in a song of worship, and I'm going to come back. We're going to pray, and we can dismiss this morning.
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.